I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 9. Paul is talking about giving to God. He says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." What a great promise. God blesses us when we honor him first with our giving. Let's bless our offering. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great promises to us. Thank you for your provision for us, that you meet all our needs as we honor you and are faithful to you and are giving to you. And so we pray that you will take these gifts, that you will bless them, multiply them, meet many needs in our community and around the world. We ask that your word will be spread and many people will come to know you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
After a church service on Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mother, "Mother, I've decided I want to be a minister when I grow up." "That's okay with us," his mom said, "but what made you make that decision?" And he said, "Well, I have to go to church anyway on Sundays. I think it'd be a lot more fun to stand up and yell at people than to sit down and listen." Last week we began our 40-day prayer covenant. And we started talking about that, and you were given a card like this over the last couple weeks. If you don't have a card like this and you haven't joined with us in the prayer covenant, please see us back at the info desk. We've got more of these cards. We also have them for children, which looks like this, so you can involve your children and your youth in the prayer covenant as well. And over 40 churches in Hamilton, the city of Hamilton, are part of this prayer covenant. And so we're all praying the same prayer together as churches. Last week, Pastor Ken began the series on the prayer covenant, and he talked about grace and love and how God's grace is freely given, undeserved favor of God. And today we're going to look at the idea of compassion, having compassion. And the card says compassion is to be empowered by God the way that God loves us. So I want to pray this prayer together. We're going to pray the first part of that. If you got your card, pull that out. If you don't have your card, it's going to magically appear on the screen behind us. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your grace that has made me one with you, your dearly loved children. By your grace, make knowing, loving, and obeying you my highest priority. Empower me to love others the way you love me. The prayer for compassion is a prayer to be empowered by the love of God and to be empowered to love others the way that God loves us. So how does God love us? How does God love you and how does God love me? Well, first of all, God loves us without condition. God doesn't love us because we are particularly a certain type of person, or because we have money, or because we don't have money, or because we're smart, or because we're not so smart, or because we're skinny, or we're not so skinny. God loves us without condition. There is no condition to God's love. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. He loves them. God loves us. And because God loves us, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we see a glimpse of God's compassion for us when Jesus was here. And it says, "And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction." It says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were helpless, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into his harvest.'" The first point I want to make this morning is this. Before we can have compassion for others, we must see their need. Before you can have compassion for others, you must see their need. The Bible says, he saw the crowds and he saw their needs. They were helpless, harassed, broken, lonely, and empty. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And compassion is our calling. It's our vision as a church. The vision of our church, the vision statement for our church is in your bulletin. If you'll open your bulletin and look on the left-hand side is our vision statement. And I want to read it together, and I'll slow down this time so you can read it with me. It says there on the left-hand side, it says our vision, and scroll down, and you will see it there. It says our vision, and let's read it together, to be great at three things, reaching the, so three things is our vision statement. The leaders of this church got together and prayed and sought God's face and asked the question, why are we here? Why does this church exist? What has God called us to do? And they come up with a statement, and the first point is the least. People overlooked by society and people forgotten, and people unloved and overlooked, those in need with broken lives. In the city of Hamilton, 22.5% of people are living in poverty. Let me say that again. In the city of Hamilton, 22.5% of people are living at or below poverty. The national average for that stat is 14%. That means the city of Hamilton has greater need than the rest of the country. And that's the reason why we did things like Helping Hands. That's the reason we do that ministry. That's the reason why we do other ministries throughout the year to help those that are in need that are less fortunate than many of us. The second point of our vision is the little. This is our children and our youth. Our children and youth are being shaped by everything today. They're being shaped by video games and social media and what their friends think. That's what shapes our teens and our youth. And God has called us to minister to the little. And so that's why we have Fairfield Christian School. Because that's what God has called us to be and do. That's the reason why we do VBS. That's the reason why we do the Fall Festival. That's the reason why we invest time and energy and money for those ministries. And then lastly, our ministry statement, our vision statement says, we're here to minister to the lost, unchurched people. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning. But people that have no meaningful relationship to God, to Christ, or His church, the lost. We were also given a vision statement to follow in the New Testament. It's called the Great Commission. And most of you are familiar with it, but the Great Commission, my favorite version of that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Bible says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This verse tells us that we're to be His witness in four places. The first one is Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents your community. It represents your network, your social network. It's the answer to the song, who are the people in my neighborhood? I don't sing. Remember Sesame Street? Who are the people in my neighborhood? It's your friends. It's your family. It's your neighbors, it's your co-workers, it's the mailman, the garbage collector, the store clerk, the person who cuts your hair, everyone you meet on the street. And we are called to have compassion on them, and we are called to minister to them. This is your personal harvest field. These are the people in your personal network, and these are the people that you're called by God to minister to. The second thing is a little bit bigger. It represents Judea and Samaria. Judea was Judea was on the bigger area that was around that, and Samaria was the part of the area that was a mix between Jewish and non-Jewish people. And so this is a bigger area. Let's call this your region. And our region's a lot bigger, and it's the city of Hamilton and Butler County. And so I want to flip to this next slide because I want to give you some stats. I don't want to bore you, but I think it's important that we take a moment to talk about Butler County and the city of Hamilton. If you look at this chart behind me, it's from the 2010 census. And if you look at this big yellow area on the chart, that represents people who don't have a home church. That represents people that, when asked on the survey in 2010, what church do you belong to, said none. Said none. So in the county of Butler County, 62.3 people are unchurched. They don't have a home church. They're not involved. They have no meaningful relationship to a church. That's 6 out of 10 people you interact with. So when you go to Kroger, or you go to Walmart, or you go anywhere, 6 out of 10 people you interact with don't have a church that they call home. 6 out of 10 people. We need to see the need and be filled with compassion. I want to go to another chart. As we flip to this one, this chart is a comparison of the survey from the year 2000 and the year 2010. So two different sets of data. The light blue line represents the survey from 2010. The black line represents the year 2000. Can anyone tell me what's changed here? This tells the number of people that are involved in each denomination or church type. Evangelical Protestantism's grown. That's good. Catholics remain status quo. Mainline Protestants lost some ground. Others kind of grown a little bit. Black Protestants grown a little bit. Orthodox has stayed, didn't have any readings. But let's look at the bottom chart, bottom part of the chart. That represents that 62.3% of people that are unchurched. 62.3% of Butler County is 229,191 people. Think about that for a minute. 229,000 people who, when asked, said, I don't have a church home. I don't have a place to call home as far as churches go. 229,000 people. And what scares me most about this chart, that number makes me a little nauseous and scares me, but what scares me most is the number of change between 2000 and 2010. In the year 2000, there were 185,000 people that were unchurched. So in 10 years, that number has grown by 19%, by 43,713 people. We're losing. And I think the reason we're losing is because we don't see the need of people. We're blind to the need of those around us. Jesus was once asked, Teacher, what is the greatest law? Jesus replied, Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor. We need to be filled with compassion. If everybody got up on Sunday morning and decided to visit one of the 333 churches in Butler County, every church in Butler County would have over 1,100 people in it. Folks, the harvest is plentiful. There's a harvest out there. So Jerusalem, your local vision or your local area, and then Judea and Samaria, and then the Bible says there at the end, then to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. This represents a global need. This is why we support ministries and missionaries in places like Pine Ridge Reservation. And to help us get a vision of that, I want to ask Steve O'Neill to come forward for just a minute. Thanks for coming up, Steve. I just want to take a few minutes. I'm going to ask Steve a few questions. And Steve's involved, as you know, with raising the funds for the Pine Ridge Ministry, Reservation Ministry. And so I just want to ask him a few questions so you could hear from someone who's passionate about that ministry, why, and that type of stuff. So, Steve, why did you first decide to go to the Pine Ridge Reservation?
Well, I had been down to Guatemala. This church has always had a lot of mission trips to Guatemala and Haiti and other places. Ken and Kathy Ritz, his daughter-in-law, Jessica Ritz, got excited about Pine Ridge from some television shows and things she'd seen about it, and she got a group of us cobbled together, just 10 or 12 of us, from actually two churches, and we went down. The next year, that group grew to about 22 people. Last year, we took 20 of our own. They took 25 from her church. A cousin of hers that had come up from Kentucky the year before went back with 15. So we went from 10 to about almost 60 people in 3 years.
Wow.
I like going to Pine Ridge because it's in our own backyard. It's great to go to Guatemala. It's great to go to Haiti. There's certainly a need. But sometimes I jokingly tell people I think that's more the mission trip for Delta Airlines, because you know, that's where so much of the money goes, and this is in their own backyard. So,
what types of things does the team do when they go?
All kind of construction work. The conditions, unfortunately, that a lot of these people live in is just simply deplorable. We have painted, we have put up siding, we've done roof work, we've built decks, we've ripped out flooring and put in subflooring, we've put in tile and vinyl, we've hung drywall. What else have we done, Ken? Have I forgotten anything? Oh, yes. And last year, we've had some people that wanted to go on this trip and were not, maybe didn't feel they were going to be able to sit out in the heat and pound nails. And last year, about a week or so before we left, we had a couple people that were questioning whether or not they were going to go. And I just told them, don't worry, God will find something for you to do. And we got a call, and the Catholic parish there in Pine Ridge was asking for help to run their vacation Bible school. And we sent 7 or 8 people over to help run that. And in fact, that they would have only had 3 people without our people. Our people ran that, and they actually got to interact with more families and more people than we did out working on the houses. And it went so well that they begged us to come back the same week this year to be able to help run that vacation Bible school again. So that's why we're going the week we're going this year. So.
It's good stuff. You can clap. So Steve, as we go this year, what's the greatest need of the people in the Pine Ridge Reservation? What's the need there?
As I said, the poverty is deplorable. It is, the county that Pine Ridge is in is the poorest county in the United States of America every single solitary year.
Say that again.
The county that Pine Ridge is in is the poorest county in the United States of America every year. It's the poorest Indian reservation in the United States. And believe it or not, in the United States, Pine Ridge Reservation has the lowest life expectancy of any place in the Western Hemisphere outside of Haiti. And it's in our own backyard. It's a national embarrassment.
Last question. How has going to the Pine Ridge Reservation changed your life?
So that was the tough question. I think as I tell people, it's nice and it's great. Not everybody can take the time off and go, you know, and it's great to write a check or support things. It's a whole different level of commitment to get in a car and physically show up. And it's interacting and the people and the friendships. I think I get out more out of it probably than the people we're helping. I know that the relationships that I've built with the people on the team that go out with us makes you a lot closer to the people we're seeing every day here. And I've got ongoing relationships and friends with people and families that are out there, and I look forward to going back out and seeing them, and I'm interacting with them on Facebook. So that's, I think, is how it would change me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we need to see the need, whether it's the people that are in my Jerusalem or my Judea or my Samaria or the uttermost part of the world. We need to see the need. So what happens to us once we see the need and we start feeling the need? And so my next point would be, once we see the need, we feel the weight and burden for the need. We feel the weight and burden for the need. You see, when we see others with compassion, compassion will always lead for a burden. It always feels, it leads to something that weighs on you. And the word compassion means, it's a part of two words. It's the first part's con, which means with, and then passion, which means great love and or pity. The Greek word for compassion literally means to be moved from your bowels. It's a Jewish idiom that means to have deep compassion. And the Jewish people believed that the bowels were thought to be the seat of the emotions. That's where you felt love, and that's where you felt pity. But it's more than just love and pity. We feel an ache in our stomach when we're moved with compassion and with great feelings like grief and being sorry and heartache and pain and sympathy. It's not just a feeling, but it's an abiding weight that you begin to carry where you see people differently. And that weight causes you to look at people differently. And so you don't look at people just as a statistic or just a number, but you actually have a feeling toward them. And that's what Jesus said when he saw the crowds. And he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had that sense of a weight that he carried. In Matthew it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And what compassion does is when we're really compassionate, it turns our focus from an inward, self-absorbed focus that goes around singing the song, me, 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 to an outward focus where it's more about them and it's more about us, it's not about me. And life becomes less about us and more about others. And so once we see the need of people and once we begin to feel the weight, then it always leads to action. It always does. And that's why out of everything on this card, praying that prayer, compassion, help me, empower me to love others the way you love me, that's the most dangerous thing on this card. Because it will rock your world. It will change things. When you start seeing the needs in other people, the way that God sees the need in you, it changes things. It changes our hearts and lives. And so it always leads to action. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, but be doers of the word, and not only hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forget who he is or who he was. But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. James says that being a hearer only that doesn't lead to action is like a person looking into a mirror. And 5 minutes after you look in the mirror, you forget what you look like. Now, some of us want to forget what we look like. But, I mean, that's crazy talk. To walk in, see yourself in the mirror, and then say, I don't remember what I look like. But it's the same thing. If you hear the word of God and you don't do anything about it, you're like that man. Jesus saw the need and was moved with compassion. He then told his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvesters. And those same people which were told to pray became the harvesters. And it always works that way. The people who see the need and pray about the need, become the very people to meet the need. One of my favorite quotes is this. I ask, why doesn't somebody do something? Why doesn't somebody do something? And then I realized, I am somebody. I am somebody. Those which see the need become the very ones to meet the need. Meeting the needs of others is not the job of the government. Are you tired of the political commercials yet? Are you tired of them? You can't turn the radio or TV or pick up the newspaper without hearing some politician saying, I'll fix your problems. It's not their job. It's not the job of social service. It's not the job of even your pastor. Do you hear me? It's not even the job of your pastor. It's your job. And it's my job. And when we see the needs of others and we start praying that prayer, God, empower me to love others the way you love me, then it leads to action every time. I've got a little video that I thought summed it up. I want to show this video real quick.
handing out Bibles, building a home, clothing the needy, feeding the hungry. These are Christ's hands. Building wells in Africa, mentoring the fatherless, helping those in need, traveling to a third world country. These are Christ's feet. Consoling a friend, leading a small group, loving your neighbor, praying for the lost. We are Christ's heart.
As the worship team comes up to lead us in a closing song, in your bulletin you will find some action steps, a line for action steps. I want to leave you with some action steps to get you started, some things you can do to be empowered to love others the way that God loves them, to have compassion. The first thing I want you to write in there is pray. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Pray. We're going to have the healing room, prayer time, and you know, we pray every Sunday when we come here multiple times in a service, but you know, prayer changes things. And we need to pray for the needs of people around us. We need to pray for the 229,000 people that are unchurched. We need to pray for the 22.5% of people that are in poverty. We need to pray for the people of Pine Ridge. There are people around us that are in need. We need to pray. The second thing you can do, and churches, pastors get beat up for saying this all the time, but it's a reality, is give. Is give. Provide for the ministries which impact the least, the little, and the lost, which is why we're here. Remember, to be great at three things: reaching the least, the little, and the lost. That's why we're here. And so we need your support, and we need your help. And when I say give, God will lead you in that if you ask Him. What do you want me to give to? Which cause? And then lastly, the third point is to volunteer. I can't do this. Pastor Nathaniel, and Ken, and all the pastors here, we can't do this. Folks, we're losing the battle. The number of unchurched people has gone up in the last 10 years. We need to get you guys off your posteriors. And we need you to get involved. And that's what that last video was about. There's a lot of little things that you can do to make a difference in the lives of other people. But it's going to take some of your time. It's going to take some of your energy. And we need you to get involved and support the cause. We're recruiting soldiers this morning. We're recruiting warriors this morning. We're recruiting people that are going to bring light into darkness. All outreach is one simple thing. It's one beggar telling another beggar where they got bread. And that's what we're all called to do. Let's stand together this morning as we sing this closing song, as God speaks to your heart. We'll sing it together this morning.
You know, John said that we love because He first loved us. So as we sing this song, I would encourage you to try to identify with the other side of this love. Identify with Jesus in giving this love and ask Him to give you what it takes to love the way that He did.